Hi, this is Travis Robertson. Thank you for downloading the Lake Norman Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or would like to contact us, check out our website at lakenormancoc.org. We would also like for you to visit with us at a worship service. You are always welcome at the Lake Norman Church of Christ.
We started a series last week on restoring lost brethren, on trying to help those who have left the Lord for whatever reason. You probably know of all kinds of different reasons why someone may have chosen to leave the Lord. And I asked you, I did say, hey, if you have a tactic or if you have tried something and you have the ability to share that with me, let me know. I would share it with everyone. And last Sunday night, I had a brother come to me, Brother Weaver in the back over there, and he said, he likes the direct approach, right? And just ask them, what did God do to you to cause you to leave? And it really puts the challenge there. Did God do anything at all to force you to walk away from the church? Because really, God didn't do anything. Everything God has done is to get you where? In the church, right? In the kingdom. And so, that's a great question to ask and helps them really challenge themselves. Why did I leave? And a lot of times they'll start to answer with, well, so-and-so, or this happened, or whatever. And instead of it being, well, God never wanted me to leave. God's wanted me here. He's wanted me to live right. He's wanted me to be in His home, and so in His household. So, it's a great way to at least start that conversation. Get them thinking exactly why they left, because it wasn't God that pushed them out. So I wanted to share that with you. And anyone else that has something, please, you can email me, call me, text me, or just come up and talk to me. Let me know, and I'll share that with everyone here. Tonight, we're going to look at the fact that if we're going to help someone, we need to go to the Word. We need to go to God's Word. And I want you to open up to 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10. What we understand from the Word is that it has the wisdom, it has the power, it has everything we need to help them come back, to help them see the truth. It has everything we need for ourselves as we try to help. You know, we don't always have the answers, right? We don't always have the best way. And so we look at passages and realize we need to ask God for wisdom, like based on James chapter 1. Of course, there he's talking about falling into various trials, about yourself dealing with particular trials, and you need wisdom to deal with them. But why can't I ask God for wisdom when I need it to help somebody else, right? So let's make sure we go to God in prayer and ask for that wisdom. And the Word helps us see those things. In 1 Kings chapter 10, you have the Queen of Sheba that comes to King Solomon in Jerusalem. And she has heard about him because of how wise he is. And so she is seeking this wisdom. Is he truly that wise? And if he is, I have a lot of questions I want answered. Notice starting in verse 1. Now when the Queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with difficult questions. So she came to Jerusalem with a very large, retinue. There we go. With camels carrying spices and very much gold and precious stones. When she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was hidden from the king, which he did not explain to her. When the Queen of Sheba perceived all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food of his table, the seating of his servants, the attendance of his waiters and their attire, his cupbearers, and his stairway by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. Then she said to the king, "It was a true report, which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. Nevertheless, I did not believe the reports until I came and my eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. You exceed in wisdom and prosperity, the report which I heard. How blessed are your men, how blessed are these your servants who stand before you continually and hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God who delighted in you to set you on the throne of Israel because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore he made you king to do justice and righteousness. She gave the king 120 talents of gold and a very great amount of spices and precious stones. Never again did such abundance of spices come in as that which the queen of Sheba gave King Solomon. And so here you have the queen of Sheba seeking that wisdom. She's heard reports, but let me see if that's true. And so she seeks out that wisdom. And of course, she goes to the wise man Solomon. I want you to understand that we have the King of Kings to go to. She went to King Solomon, and we have the King of Kings to go to. He's delivered his word. He's given us knowledge and understanding and wisdom within his word. We simply need to seek it out. Make sure that we're in it. If we're going to help anybody else, we have to know the word. If you turn over to Matthew chapter 12, in Matthew chapter 12, you have the scribes asking Jesus for a sign. If you could just give us a sign, we'd like to see it, judge it, determine whether or not it's a true sign, right? That's what the scribes were doing. But in Matthew chapter 12, and starting in verse 39, he answers them and says, "An evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign, and yet no sign will be given to it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at the judgment and will condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here." Notice verse 42. "The queen of the south will rise up with this generation at the judgment and will condemn it, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, something greater than Solomon is here." We have Jesus. We have his gospel. We have the word that's been delivered to us. We have what we need. The wisdom is right there at our fingertips. And he who lacks wisdom, James says, pray for it. Ask the Lord for it. Isn't that how Solomon got his wisdom? The Lord said, ask. Solomon came back and said, "I think wisdom would be the best course as a ruler." And that's what he received from the Lord. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, "And that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." That's Paul encouraging Timothy. Timothy, the answers are in the scriptures, right? The wisdom is there. It makes you wise. And who needs wisdom more than a young man like Timothy, who's preaching in a congregation in Ephesus with all these crazy things going on in that town and all the struggles that brings to the church? And here he is, a young man. Paul's left him, right? Paul says, I need you here in Ephesus, and Paul leaves. And now here's Timothy on his own in Ephesus. He needs all the help he can get. And what does Paul say? The Holy Scriptures that you've been in since you were a child, they will make you wise. They will instruct you. They will lead you in the way that you ought to go. They will bring salvation through Jesus Christ. How many times have we seen loved ones bring misery on themselves because they have failed to hold true to the Word? The Word is there, and it tells us the difference between right and wrong. It helps us make those discerning judgments when we need to make a discerning judgment. It gives us the wisdom for it. But if we're not in the Word, how much easier is it for us to what? Drift off, fall away. And that's what we see with loved ones, is a lot of times They're not so focused on what God has to say. They're usually focused on what feels right. You see that come up a lot of times within Scripture. When the nation of Israel was struggling in their obedience to God, what were they doing? Well, doing what was right in my own eyes. I was doing what feels right. Maybe we needed to pay more attention to what God said was right. And if we can pay attention to that and we can have those scriptures ready to share with our brothers and sisters who have fallen away, and I know sometimes they're not necessarily ready to hear it. They're not wanting to hear it all the time. But the scriptures are powerful, and we'll get into that in just a moment. So why God's Word? Why is God's Word so important in this? In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we have a passage that we looked at a little bit ago where I focused on the inspiration of Scripture. But I want you to turn back over there because we didn't focus on the other things that are mentioned in that passage. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It says, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. God's Word is perfect. It has everything that we need. But notice these words that follow the fact that it's inspired by God. The reason it's perfect is because who wrote it? Who gave it? God did. It wasn't just something man made up. It's perfect because He gave it. And because He gave it, it's profitable. There's value in His Word. And He goes on to show that value. He says it's profitable for teaching. Something we're doing right now. Teaching is happening right now within the sermon. Teaching happens on Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights. It happens when you're at home reading your Bible. That teaching is happening through God's Word. As you're reading it and understanding the words, that teaching is there. And then He says, for reproof and for correction. Those things are needed. That's part of helping to bring loved ones back to the Lord, is that reproof, or to keep them from leaving in the first place, right? If we can help correct them, help reprove them before they're gone, that's important. It's hard to get the fish back, right? Once the line's broke and they're back in the water, if we have them there, we need to do everything we can to help them in the moment before they leave. But when they leave, the Word is still there. And notice it's there for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. We need to be equipped. How many of us say, I just don't know enough? Or I wish I knew more so I could do more to help somebody. And a lot of times we use that as an excuse. We talked a little bit about that this morning in Bible classes. We can come up with all kinds of excuses not to do something. And here we're told, hey, if you want to know what's right, if you want to do what the Lord wants, if you want to help someone out, if you want to be that spiritual brother in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, that helps someone that's fallen into a trespass, that's fallen into sin, that's been snared by it, caught up in it, be in the Word. The Word is what will get you the training you need to be that man of God, to be that woman of God, to be adequate, to be equipped for every good work. It is important to pay attention to the Word. And it's hard for me to stress it any more than that. We have to pay attention to it. And I know, hey, that's what the preacher's supposed to say, right? I mean, he's the Bible thumper. He's supposed to be saying, pay attention to the Word. Stay focused in the Word. Be in the Word. Why do we hear preachers say that all the time? Because people need to what? Be in the Word. And preachers need to be in the Word. Everyone needs to be in the Word if they are going to be the person God wants them to be. And if we ever want to help someone that's fallen away, then we better be that spiritual person, that man of God, that woman of God that can truly help them. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. You'll find a little bit more about the Word and its power and its ability. Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 12. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. But you notice there in verse 12, what did it say about the Word? There's a lot of words showing how active the Word is, how powerful the Word is. Other translations, instead of using the word active, use the word powerful. But we don't have a dead Word. We've got the Word that is living. It is alive. It's active. It works within the heart. It works on the mind. It will divide between soul and spirit. It's a seed that's planted in our hearts. When you think about how you became a Christian, how you even got to that point, what did you have to hear? The Word. It was that seed that you had to decide, do I believe in it? And as you decided you believed in Jesus, that you believed in this Word, you began to nourish it, you began to feed it, and it began to grow within you. And you became a Christian. You became a child of God. And so it is living, it is active, it is powerful. And when you think about our Bibles, as we talk about the Word, the law, we use those kind of words, but just, we call it the Bible, right? When you look at a Bible, it doesn't look very sharp, does it? It looks kind of dull, right? And a lot of times you look at the outside of it. Now, some of these kids have some fancy looking Bibles. They're all colorful and they're done up all real nice on the outside. But you look at a Bible, it's just black. Maybe it's a little dusty. Maybe it's a little dirty. Maybe it's got a bunch of oil stains in it from your fingers flipping back and forth. It doesn't look sharp. It doesn't look like it's very active. And yet, if you read the words, if you allow them into your heart, if you use them and share them with those who have fallen away, the Word is what can bring them back. It has the ability to do that. Sometimes we put all the pressure on ourselves. And what can I do? What is it that I haven't done? And we start to blame ourselves that why our child has fallen away, why our loved one has fallen away, and we put it all on ourselves. We got to understand that they're the ones that made the decision. But we also have to understand the Word is what brought them to Christ. The Word is what can bring them back to Christ. It can help convict them again. It can help them to understand what they need to be doing. It is powerful. It is active. See, running out of time a little bit here, but let's go ahead and move on to why we need to seek the Word. Because feelings become involved when loved ones fall away. Our emotions are there, and emotions are powerful. They are very powerful. Anger is a huge emotion. Love can be a big emotion. And when we see our loved ones fall away, maybe they decided to leave their wife or their husband and go off with someone else, and they said, this isn't, I know that if I try to stay in the church, or I try, they're just going to leave, they're just ditching everything, they're leaving everything behind, but maybe they still want to be a part of the church, and so they try to go somewhere that will accept them for their life choices, right? And as a family member, as someone who loves them, sometimes you can have your own feelings wane and say, you know, maybe it's not that big of a deal that they've done these things. I've had preacher friends who had their understanding of the word and taught the word a particular way their whole lives until their child sinned and fell away, and then they said, maybe that's not a sin. Maybe that's not exactly how we should look at that. They've let their feelings determine what they believe to be a sin rather than God's word. And so we need to be seeking His word and seeking the guidance that's found in His word, because our feelings can lead us in the wrong direction. Let's notice a few passages. In Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things." And I want you to think about the Apostle Paul, who is known as Saul beforehand. Saul, according to his conscience, was doing everything right, persecuting the church. He was zealous in doing that. And he didn't feel bad for doing it, because he felt he was doing the right thing. But then he has Jesus appear to him on the road to Damascus and says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He had to be taught what was right. And after Ananias comes to him, he shifts and he changes. And he begins zealously doing what is right in preaching the gospel and turning the world upside down with the word of God, with the gospel of Christ. It is important. Feelings can get in the way. Paul, or Saul, felt like he was doing the right thing, persecuting the church. How about what Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26? He says, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool." We must be aware of the dangers of following our feelings. Now, the feelings are there. God's given us feelings, right? These emotions. But we also have to understand that emotions can lead us to a whole nother world, to a whole different place that we didn't want to go. When you lose it, and when I say lose it, I mean you let anger take over. Do you do great things for people? But when your anger has taken over, usually you're doing everything selfishly for you, but you're also doing what? Hurting everyone else around you a lot of the time. Anger leads us down a bad path if we let it take over. Love, or maybe I should say lust, can take us down a deep path that we never wanted to go down. And let me maybe use a better word as that desire, that pull, that, and when I say a love for just something, a lust, a desire for something, can take us somewhere we didn't want to go initially, because we wanted to stay true to the word, and yet we started going after this particular thing, and it's taken us way off course, and we let our feelings get the better of us. This feels good. This feels right. And that's what the world preaches. The world preaches this feels right. This feels good. Whatever feels great to you is right to you, is what the world is preaching. That's not what God says. God's given a standard of morality. He's given you what needs to happen within His church and the rules and the guidelines, and follow that, and you'll be doing what's right. And in doing what's right, you can hopefully help those who have fallen by the wayside. In Psalm 119 and verse 80, the psalm has a lot to say about the word or God's law. "Let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may not be ashamed." The psalmist there is saying, I want to be so focused on your word. I want my heart to be so intent on your word that I am blameless before you, that I'm not ashamed. That's what we should desire. That's what we should want, is to not be ashamed before God, because we have followed after His word, His path. Psalmist also says, Your word is a light, is a lamp unto my path. Here's a few passages of scriptures. If you want to write these down, I'm going to go through a few of them, but these are scriptures that I think can help us when we don't know exactly what to do. We have a loved one that's fallen away, but we're not sure exactly what to do. Here's some passages that I think can help us, and there's probably more than what I'm giving tonight, but here's just a few. The first one I've mentioned already, James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. We need that wisdom when we don't know exactly what to say and what to do. We need to pray about it. We need to ask for it. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. How about Psalm 25 and verse 9? The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. When we've become proud and we've allowed our feelings to lead us, that's when we're not following his way. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 28, in the first part of that verse, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer. Seek the answers in his word. Start there. Proverbs 16, verse 23, the heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Sometimes we are so ready to tell someone what we think they ought to hear, and we need to make sure we've taught our lips and our tongue what we should say before we open it. Sometimes we let it fly and we cause a lot more fires to get started. So let's make sure we've taught our mouth and our lips his truth and let them become wise. Proverbs 2, verses 6, 7, and 9. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. He gives wisdom. You need to seek it. And in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, we need to trust in the Lord. And here it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. When we seek the answers in his word, we need to seek them prayerfully, we need to seek them diligently, and we need to seek them respectfully. And I want to focus on the last part of that, that I said, respectfully. When we seek the answers in his word, we need to be honest with that. We need to respect it, that his word is the final authority. Jesus in John chapter 12, verses 48 and 50, told those who were listening to him that his words would judge them because he was speaking what the Father wanted him to speak. We will be judged by his words, by the gospel itself. We will be judged, and so we need to respect it. And when we look at it, we understand that it's not okay to leave your wife or to leave your husband and just go run off with somebody else. That's not what we ought to do, and we shouldn't say, well, I guess it's okay in their situation, or it's okay in this circumstance, or we shouldn't be saying those things. We should understand that that's against God's will. God sometimes will say, God just wants me or them to be happy. And we'll say that in our hearts and in our minds, but God wants you to be happy, but you're only going to be truly happy with him and in his word, and that's what's going to direct you. When we say God just wants them to be happy or God just wants me to be happy, what are we saying? What I want is what makes me happy, and that's wrong. It might give you some pleasure right now, but in the long run, it doesn't help you. It will hurt you more than anything. And respecting God's word also means that we will honor what it teaches all the time. When you think about church discipline, sometimes we've had loved ones fall away in the matter of fact where they've had a sin in their life and it's been very public. Everyone knows about it, and the elders have had to make the decision of church discipline and to say, you need to leave until you get this right. You cannot be in the assembly with us until you change this, based on Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17, or the example in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 with that particular gentleman that was with his father's wife. And Paul said, you can't let that go on. You have to take care of this situation. He can't be there with you. If he changes and he fixes things and he gets back on track, okay. But right now, while he's living that way, he can't be there. And because they're our son, or because it's our family member, we get upset with an eldership's decision on those matters, and we throw a big... Is that how we should react? We should honor what God's Word teaches in those moments. Be respectful of the eldership that's had to make it to that point in time to make that decision. It's not easy. I've been at places where that's had to happen. And I can't tell you how many prayerful meetings elders had wanting to help this person and finally realizing that this might be the best way to help them is to not just allow them to do whatever they want and we pretend everything's okay. And so we need to honor His Word. It is that lamp to our feet, and it guides us, and it gives us the path to walk down. We need to honor it and show those who we love, who we truly love, but if they've fallen away, they need to see that we honor God's Word, that we love His Word, that the answers are there. Now, I'm going to challenge you, if you have a loved one that has fallen away, and I know we're going over this, we're trying some things. I encourage you to try Brother Weaver's way, and if you haven't done that yet. But also, another way to at least maybe get a conversation going is ask them to study with you. And I don't mean come over to my house and sit down at the table. Now, you can do that. I'm not against that. If that happens and that works out, great. But I want to challenge you to ask them, hey, I want to study this particular book of the Bible, and I'm hoping that you would read it with me, and that at the end of the week we could share our notes on those chapters or the portion that we read and share with one another as we learn and grow through this. And that might get them in the Word. Maybe they haven't really been in the Word because they've left the church. Well, it's not necessarily because they hate the Word of God. They might be open to that, to just reading Scripture on their own and comparing notes with you on those passages. So that's just an idea to maybe get something rolling, to get down that path of having those conversations and having conversations about God's Word. This evening, if you understand that God's Word is the truth, that it leads you down the right path, and that path leads us right to Jesus, to His Son, and He leads us all the way to the Father. And you're ready to put Him on in baptism. You're ready to respond to His invitation. That is for you this evening. Please come forward while we stand and while we sing.
Lord, you be free from the burden of sin. There